Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
So we're going to be going forth and studying from the book of Luke, just like we have been all along. Now, when Pastor Adam, when he asked me to preach on the 24th, the first thing I did was I looked to see what chapter and what verse I would be preaching on. And when I looked and found it, you know what it's about? Two men, one went to heaven and one went to hell. So I got to tell you, you know, when I first saw this, it really was not something that I said, all right, I'm really excited about going here. But I said, all right, my first reaction was I'm going to run for the hills. But then, you know, as I thought about it, as I prayed about it, you know, I said, all right, the next thing I thought, well, you know what I may be able to do? Maybe I could just throw in a one-liner about hell. So what do you think? If I just throw in a one-liner and I can spend the rest of the time talking about heaven. But I knew that this parable that I'm going to preach on, there is no way I could do it justice by just throwing in a one-liner. Now, the parable is about Lazarus. It's Lazarus and a rich man. And so this is basically about one of them. It was Lazarus who ended up in heaven, and the rich man ended up in hell. So I always like to start with a story because that'll relax me a little bit. Pastor Adam always told me, just start with a story. So I'm going to start with a story, and I do have a story to start you with. Now, when I was a kid, right, I was raised in North Arlington. It was in the suburbs, a little bit outside of the city. I was raised as a Presbyterian. You know, I was raised in the Presbyterian church. Although I went to Sunday school, I don't have any remembrance of what I learned there. But I do have a very vivid memory of when I knew there was a God. And you know where I learned about him? On the streets. Now, this was back in the day when our parents felt safe letting your kids go out there and play in the streets. Even when they were little 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds, you'd be out there playing hopscotch, playing kickball in the streets. And I was out there, you know, playing with the kids, about 7 at the time. And all the kids in my neighborhood, they all went to church. But most of them went to a different denomination than me. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the name of this denomination is. But by the time I get done with my story, I have a feeling some of you might know who it is. So here we are, we're talking about church. So I have a whole bunch of them around me, and they're looking at me and asking me, do you confess your sins? And I'm like, I never heard about this. I said, no, I don't. They said, well, if you don't confess your sins, you are going to hell. These little faces, intense, you are going to hell. There was no talk about Jesus, no talk about forgiveness, just you are going to hell. Well, my response to this, I remember it as vividly as if it happened yesterday. And like I said, I was about 7 at the time. First thing I did, well, I want to repent. I've got to repent. So I'm thinking, well, what do I need to repent of? I figured, well, if my parents yelled at me, if I was in trouble, that must be a sin, right? So this I have to repent of. So I started repenting of whatever I got yelled at. Then I said, well, how about if I'm hiding something? If I'm hiding something, I probably have to repent of that. Because if I wasn't hiding it, I'd get in trouble. So one of the things I used to hide, my mother was very strict about making sure we were healthy. Now, we could not get up from the table unless we ate everything on our plate. This was the rule. So I was fine with the meat, you know, the potatoes, but then those dreaded vegetables. Ah, then one of them that I could gag on them is lima beans. Ugh, lima beans. So I'm like, I came up with a plan. When no one was looking, I'd slip them in my hand, slip them under the table. The dog wouldn't even eat these things. The dog didn't even want them, so I would just plop in my pocket. That's where they would go. Now, I hadn't learned Pastor Adam's trick with vegetables. If you don't know, you know what he does? If you've ever gone out to breakfast with him, on his broccoli, he smothers it with ketchup. This is what he, I don't know if he does all his vegetables, not a little bit of ketchup, smothered in ketchup in order. I'm telling you, ketchup wouldn't even help these lima beans. So my next response was, I wanted to know God. I didn't run from him. I said, I wanted to know who is this God they're talking about. And you know, I instinctively knew where I'd find him, and that would be in the Bible. In Sunday school, they gave me a Bible, so I would be under my covers at night reading my Bible. I had a flashlight. Now, I had to repent of this because I was supposed to be sleeping. But here I am, I'm under the covers reading, just absorbed, wanting to read this Bible, you know, and I knew that's where I was going to find God. So as I was reflecting on this, you know what God told me? He said, this is where it all started in your life, your love for my word. I called you out, the call on your life. You are my evangelist. You are one of my ambassadors that I have called to represent me here on this earth. Yes. And yet, yeah, that's what he said. This is who you are. And it started then. It took years later before I actually stepped out in it. But he is saying the exact same thing to all of you. Everyone in this room that has received salvation, every born again child of God, you are called, set apart to be his ambassador. Isn't that awesome? To represent him on this earth. We are his mouthpiece. We are his hands. We are his feet. And he will empower us. And you know, the thing is, the scripture I want to start with is the one that is right here on our each one, reach one. And it's 2 Corinthians 2:20. It says, and this is all of us. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Yes. So once I realized this is going to be the foundation of my message, I said, okay, this I can preach. This I can go to. So now I'm going to bring us back to the script that we're going to be talking about today, about Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus 16:19-21. This was Jesus speaking. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his wounds. Now, before we go any further, as I said before, these two men ended up in very different places. Lazarus, he ended up in heaven, while the rich man ended up in hell. Now, the lesson here Jesus was not saying is that rich people will go to hell, you know, and that poor people will go to heaven, but he was focusing on this rich man. He wanted you to know this rich man was totally out of touch with God. He was totally out of touch with him because he had no compassion. Our God is a God of compassion. If he knew God, he could not have kept walking by him. There was no compassion in him. He was totally self-absorbed. And that was what, you know, the point Jesus was getting across. And, you know, how many chances had God given him? How many times had he walked right by that poor man? Now, Lazarus, on the other hand, we don't know a lot about him, but we do know what his name means. You know what Lazarus' name means? Whom God helps. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. You know, now maybe the rich man didn't help him, but you know who did? God helped him. Now, you can't help but know the vast contrast between these two lives, from when they were alive and when they died, you know, and everything changed. All of a sudden, you know, the rich man who had not a care in the world, you know, and there was Lazarus in dire straits, and now it is a rich man in dire straits, and it's Lazarus who doesn't have a care in the world. Yeah, you know, parables. This was a parable that Jesus spoke of. And you know, parables are designed to make us uncomfortable. Thank you so much, PA, for letting me come up here and make people feel uncomfortable. Yes. Thank you for sharing the pulpit with me so I could do that. Well, but that is what a parable's for, to make us uncomfortable. But the end result is good. So are you willing? Are you going to go there with me? What do you say? You're coming there with me. All right, good. Now, who he was talking to were the Pharisees. But the disciples were in hearing distance because he had been talking to them originally. But then what happened is, as he was talking to them, the Pharisees overheard. And he was talking about money. And the Pharisees, who loved money, definitely, they honed in on this. And what Jesus had said is, no one can serve two masters. We cannot serve both God and money. And so when they heard that, they started sneering at Jesus. And that's all Jesus needed. He didn't need twice to talk to the Pharisees, you know. So he right away, he honed right in and he talked to them. Now, he mentioned Abraham. Why he mentioned Abraham, he used that because he knew that would get their attention, because they all knew who Abraham was, and where Abraham ended up, they definitely wanted to end up there. There was no doubt that Abraham would end up in heaven. And also, but the thing too that really was a slap in the face to the rich, to rich people, is they thought that riches were a sense of God's blessing. It was a sense of God's favor. And here they're saying this rich man ended up in hell. Now the Pharisees also, they prided themselves in their righteousness. They prided themselves in how they, every letter of the law, they were obedient to it, or at least all that they knew. But in the same sense that they were blind. They were blind because they looked down their noses at everyone else. They looked down their noses at the tax collector, at the drunkards. You know, back when they would have been looking down their nose at me, let me tell you. But they looked down their noses. And that, you know, Jesus was making this point. And that poor beggar who stood there, here he is, there. How many times he walked by. So this rich man, he was not only had no compassion, he actually despised him. He looked down on him. And Jesus wanted to get that point across to us through this parable. So then it goes on in Luke 16, 24 through 28. So here is a rich man calling up. He said, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip a tip of his finger in the water, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that you in your lifetime, you received good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to there cannot, nor can anyone cross over from here to there." He answered, then he said, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, so my five brothers, let them warn him. They will not end up in this place of torment." Now he got it, but it was too late. Then he wanted to warn them, but it was too late. I mean, intense. This is, look at your faces. This is an intense parable. It is. Again, thank you very much, PA. But in reality, God wanted me to preach this because he wanted me to hear this. And so I had to hear it before I could get up here. So there's two very different realities here. Now, I've thought about it in my life. I've given a lot of thought to heaven. This is my happy place. I like thinking about heaven. But I have given very little thought to thinking about hell. Very little thought. Every time I would even think about it, I would stop myself because it was too frightening. Even the thought that I could go there, or one of my loved ones, or that anyone could go there. I mean, and all the things I had read about it, it's eternal punishment, it's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, it's a way shut out from the very presence of God, a fiery furnace. It's like, all of these words. Now, not that I was ever in total denial that there is a hell, because I've read the Bible too much to have ever really not known it's there. And Jesus, too, he spoke about hell more than anybody else in the Bible. But let me call it a semi-denial. Excuse the pun, but I had it on a back burner, right? And God said to me, I wonder how many others are doing the exact same thing. But as I studied this parable, he awakened me. He awakened me out of that place of denial, not to dwell on it, but for the purpose of realizing the call on each one of our lives, for the purpose of realizing and feeling the weight. I say that again, feeling the weight and the responsibility of being God's ambassador. That's why, yes. Now, not that we'd be going around telling everyone about hell. We're not. I'm sure all these people, did they tell you, come to church, you're going to hell? No. You know, this would go over great in my shopping ministry. I could clean out the whole place, you know. You're going to hell, all of you. And ladies, you don't have to worry, in my Connect group, we are not going to be having the next on exploring all the different terms for hell. No. Don't have to worry. I wouldn't need all those chairs in my clear if I did that one. But it did come for us to realize that there is a call on our lives, that we are his ambassador, and that he will anoint us and appoint us to be his mouthpiece. Isn't that awesome? But do you know how you activate it? You activate it by stepping out in it. It will not be activated unless you step out. Peter could have not walked on water unless he got out of the boat, right? And he didn't sink until he took his eyes off Jesus. Jesus is in us. The presence of God is in us. So as long as we get out of the boat, he will equip us. Yes. And so again, he's called us to step out. And look at Laurie, all of them. Wasn't that a great example of what is ambassadors look like? Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that inspire us all to want to walk in the fullness of that? And you know why? We have to realize that not everyone that calls themselves a Christian is heaven bound. They're just not, you know? Not just the people that may not know God at all, or they don't even think about it, but people that are sitting in our churches, and they are just not heaven bound, and they don't realize it. And you know how I know this? I used to go into the nursing homes, and when I was in there, I would talk to the people, I would preach and I would talk to them, and I'd ask them, do you think you're going to heaven? And most of them said yes. And then my next question would be, why? And countless of them, you know what they told me? Because I'm a good person. No. They had gone to church all their lives and truly did not understand the gospel. They were just as deceived as the rich man in that parable. But God, in his mercy, he sent me in. He sent others in to be his ambassador, to bring the good news to him. You know, the good news of Jesus. And many in our churches, they don't fully understand the gospel. They've sat under it. They don't truly know that there is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Son. There's only one way into heaven. No one is good enough, only through Jesus. And Jesus' words, he said, a person needs to be born again. We sang about that, to enter the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. And you know what happens? I love this scripture, because Jesus explains eternal life this way. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. It's knowing Jesus intimately. That's what it's about. Ephesians 2 says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, sealed with him in the heavenly realm. When you are born again, the very life of Christ, isn't that amazing, comes into us. And as Christians, we are called to step into. The door gets opened to live the highest quality of life that a human being can possibly live on this earth. That is the door that opens up to us at salvation. Yeah, listen to Jesus' words. Most assuredly, I say, who believes in me, the work I do, he will do, and also greater works than these, because I go to the Father. And it all starts with prayer. It all starts with prayer. Everything that Jesus did was bathed in prayer. Everything he did, he said, when you see me, you see the Father. He went to the Father. He prayed always. And so it is with us. It starts with prayer. You pray for your loved one's salvation. You pray for the people you work with. You pray that God will set up divine appointments in your workplace wherever you may go. And you come armed with invite cards. I mean, you always talk about my shopping ministry, my pool ministry. Rana, from my pool ministry over here. Yes, but always ready to be his witness wherever we go. And that sometimes you'll have a little bit more time, like at the pool. If I sit down next to someone, I have time to speak to them, or you could at work. And you start to ask some questions about themselves. Let them open up to you. Ask them what their beliefs are, and then you can share yours. Sometimes they'll share with you hardships or what they're going through, and you can pray for them. You can pray for them. Sometimes I do it right there. You say, if they're not comfortable with that, you just go home and pray. And then you keep that door open. Or we are his ambassadors because we are his hands. We are there doing when we see a need. There could be an elderly couple that lives next door to you. So you go over there and you clean off their car from the snow, or you shovel their walk. Where there's a need, you step in. What would Jesus do? We're his ambassadors in everything we do. We're his ambassadors. We walk in the authority. When we open our mouths, we are here to bring the good news. But the thing is, as Pastor said, it's the good news. But you know what we can't do? We cannot erase hell. We can't. We can't pretend hell does not exist. Because what you know what it will do? It will strongly motivate us to bring the good news when we face the reality of there that is that place. You know, and you know what we do? You know what we have the tendency to do as Christians when we read the Bible? We can have a highlighter in one hand. We like that, and an eraser in the other. We highlight what we like. Something doesn't go along with it. It doesn't go along with what we want to think. We erase it. But we can't do that. We have to embrace every word is God-breathed. Everything should be highlighted. So be careful that we don't do that. Again, you cannot erase hell. I mean, again, not that we're going to be running around telling people or talking about hell. This is to motivate us. I can't help but think about my cousin. Now, he was the first one who received salvation in the family with knowing that he had had an experience of being born again. And he knew the life of Christ came into him. But no one had taught him how to share his faith well. My daughter remembers, it was quite an experience, right? We would always go, my brother would always have a Memorial Day picnic, and we would go to this picnic. He lives in Massachusetts, big property. People would camp out there. He'd set up a stage. He's a musician. There'd be bands playing, kegs set up all the over the place, wine, a lot of partying. I mean, not that it's wrong to have a few drinks. You know, Jesus, he turned water into wine. That was the first miracle. But we're talking way, party, party, party. So anyway, here we are, we come, family, friends. My cousin had always been coming. This year he comes announcing, I have been born again, with his Bible, chasing us around with his Bible. Everywhere I would try to get away from him, here he is, you know, go away. I mean, there was no listening to it because it was just too, he wasn't led by the Spirit. I would try to move to another blanket pretty soon. Oh no, he's back. But then, to top it off, a little while later, my daughter gets married, right? She gets married. Wonderful wedding day. Police. He's sitting at the table with my dad, and who my father had had a few scotches, and he starts pointing at him, calling him a sinner. You sinner, you. I'm like, oh, wow, man. Born again? Oh, yeah, this is something I really want to sign up for. If this is what's going to happen to me, I don't think so. I am so glad the woman that invited me to church, she did not say one word about that. I'm not even sure I would have came. But when I did go, that's what happened to me, even though I didn't know what happened. I didn't know what happened. I had no word to put on it. But when I went there and when I received Christ, when I accepted him as the Lord and Savior, and when I had asked for the forgiveness of my sins, I felt the weight of every sin I have ever committed lift off of me. And all the shame that I had carried around for years was gone. I am a totally shameless woman. I truly am. Since that moment. And at that moment, I didn't know what happened, but I knew something had happened. And what had happened is the door had been opened to live the highest quality of life that a human being can possibly live. That is the door that opens to us because the life of God, the very life of Christ comes into us and you're awakened. Yes. Now, once they told me I'd been born again, once I realized what had happened, right? Now that the born again, that's highlighted in my Bible. That's a word I'm like, yes, because it describes it so well. Because you come alive, new life comes out of you. And well, you know what happens? You become God's child. We sang that. I am a child of God. Yeah. The moment you are born again, you become God's child. Galatians 3:26. In Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. 1 Peter 1:23 says, for I am born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word which liveth and abideth forever. You become a child of God. Sometimes people think when you're born, you're automatically a child of God, but no, you are God's creation. It is when you are born again. And at that moment of salvation, everything changes. Again, I'm going to say it because I know it's the case. You and I, as God's children, have been called to walk in the highest quality of life that we can possibly live as a human being. Does everybody walk in that? No. But I'll tell you one thing. If you come to this church, we will teach you how to walk in that. And we will make sure you're set free from the things that can stop you from walking in that. Because that is our destiny, every one of us. Does that guarantee we won't have any struggles? No. But he will be there to get us through everything. And what has happened is the door has opened to the kingdom of God. The door has opened to a whole nother sphere. The door has opened. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There is no sickness in heaven. In heaven, here on this earth, the kingdom of God, where miracles occur, a place where you can know God intimately. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they know Jesus, empowered by God, walking in the authority. We walk in authority in him because he is in us. And it starts with prayer. You start praying, give me the courage, God. Give me the courage to step out and be your ambassador. Pray for divine appointments. Pray for your loved ones. I remember my dad. I grew up 5 minutes in here from Glacier Hills. And we were sitting at the pool, still always one of my favorite pastimes. Just me and my dad. And we're sitting there by the pool. And he looked at me and he said, Dorothy, he always called me Dorothy. He goes, Dorothy, you know what I love about you, hon? Even though, you know, you have this strong faith now, you never try to cram it down our throats. And I said to him, yeah, you're right, Daddy. But you don't see me when the tears are streaming down my face and I am praying and I am crying out to God, that you will know Jesus the way I know him. And a little while after that, you know, my dad, we were there on a Sunday, we're all out back, you know, having a, you know, a barbecue. And he had been diagnosed with an illness. And he was facing, you know, his own immortality at that moment. And I remember I saw the fear in his eyes as he faced that, but I saw this hope, this ray of hope. And he looked at me, and he said, Dorothy, in that ray of hope, he said, Dorothy, what happened to you? It has affected our whole family. And I said, yes, it had, because God had chosen me to be his ambassador, to come back and to bring the good news, to bring that to my family. So about a year later, at the end of my dad's life, he had a stroke, and he was in and out, you know. And Pastor John, Chris remembers him. Yeah, he was the associate pastor at the time. He was sitting by his bedside, and he heard my father say, I'm saved, and I'm going home. My father knew salvation. He knew Jesus. So I ask you the same question. Do you have the same assurance that my father had? Do you think that you're going to end up in heaven? And if the answer is yes, then why? But there is only one answer to that. It's because of Jesus, that you have received Jesus, that he paid the price that you would have eternal life. Remember Jesus' words, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Yeah, that you would know him. Jesus also said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Now that's one of the ones you might even want to erase, right? Wonder what that means, right? But what is God's will? That we would know Jesus intimately. Eternal life is knowing him intimately. It's the difference between religion and relationship. It talks about knowing him. In the Bible, knowing. You know what knowing is? Is when two become one. It's knowing. It said that Adam knew Eve and they produced a child. It's knowing him. And through that intimacy, your life is transformed through knowing him. It's through knowing him and that intimacy of that relationship that everything starts to line up with his ways. Those old appetites start to fall away. It's about knowing him. And what it does, it opens up that door to the highest quality of life that we can possibly live here on this earth. So it starts with just a heart that is open to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. And it starts with a prayer, because once you pray and you look to him and you receive him, he will come in you, the presence of God. And maybe you even prayed this before, maybe even years ago, but now you have a better understanding. And you want to walk in the fullness of that, of knowing him, so it'll affect every area of your life. It says you've confessed with your mouth and declare in your heart, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a confession. It's a confession of our heart. It's a simple prayer of faith.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.